Well, the text this morning is Luke chapter 2 and verse 19. Luke chapter 2 and verse 19. As we reminded in the reading, I'm doing the watershed of the ages. I'm not speaking on Christmas, I'm speaking on the watershed of the ages. All the Old Testament leading up to this passage in Luke 1 and 2, and then all the rest of the New Testament following on from Luke 1 and 2. This is a very, very important section of Scripture. And at the very center of this passage and this section of Scripture, as is the very center of the Bible, is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the angels, it's not the shepherds, it's not the men who came, it's not Herod, it's not Joseph, it's not Mary, it's Christ. He's the center of the Bible. Everything in the Old Testament is pointing up to him, and everything in the New Testament is speaking of him. Christ, as Paul says to the Colossians 3:11, is all. Now, my text this morning is verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, if you look at the passage, you can see it's a kind of sandwich. This is a little section, that verse 19, just in the middle of something else. And what it's in the middle of is from verse 15, shall we say, down to verse 20. It's to do with the shepherds. The shepherds have heard the angels announcing glory to God and fear not, and the Saviour is born, he's in Bethlehem and all the rest of it. These shepherds out on the field with their sheep and goats, whatever it is, at night. And the angels left them and they immediately say, let's go. We want to go and see this. Now, I spoke on this last Sunday evening, so I'm not going to speak on it this morning. If you want to hear that, that's on sermon audio, it's on the webpage. But the point is, they showed their curiosity and their interest. They ran down the hill. You can see it in Scripture. And then when they had seen the Christ child, they went away and spoke about him. They didn't speak about the Mary and Joseph and the stable. They spoke about the Saviour, Christ the Lord. Now, how much they understood, I don't know. But they knew enough to broadcast it everywhere. And it says the people were amazed when they heard this. Well, I'm sure they were. But sandwiched in this is this little verse in verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, the title I gave to last Sunday evening's address was The Shepherd's Challenge. The shepherds challenge us. How? When they hear the good news, they don't say, oh, well, what should we talk about? What's we doing tomorrow? What's for supper? They run to see the Christ. They're curious. And when they've heard and seen, they don't just keep it to themselves. They spread it abroad. I say that's a challenge to every believer. This address is Mary's challenge. It's a different challenge, but if you put the two together, you've got a very, very complete picture, I'll tell you, of how to respond to the gospel. Mary, but Mary, treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, I think I've probably said in passing, when I've been dealing with Mary before, whether it's in this congregation or elsewhere, Rome has ruined our view of Mary. We have reacted, I'll speak for myself, I have reacted against Rome's nonsense about Mary and all the dreadful nonsense they've heaped upon her from the 10th, 11th centuries. But if we could get past Rome and all its rubbish, all its blasphemous rubbish, Mary has a great deal to say to us. Let us remind ourselves what we're talking about here. I can't be absolutely sure, but the evidence I read and the deduction I make is that Mary is a very young woman. I would say quite probably late teenager. Okay, early 20s. I don't know. I don't know, argued about it. But she's very, very young woman. Now, it says, but Mary pondered all these things, treasured all these. What things are we talking about here? Well, you just think what's happened to this young girl, this young Jewish girl, in the last few hours, few weeks, few months. Now, I've got a granddaughter. She's slightly older than this. She's about 24, and I've got another one a bit older than that. But, you know, I'm thinking about them. You've got relations like that. And funny enough, all of us at one time were that age ourselves. Okay, 19, all right, go back. Can you go back a few weeks ago and at 19, all right, remember? Now let's have a think about it. I jotted down one or two things just to remind me. I didn't want to miss any. In chapter 1, verse 26 to verse 38, we won't read it now, but let's remind you of it. Do you remember she's there? Now she's a young Jewish girl, late teens. She's not married, but she's engaged. The Jewish system was slightly, but she's betrothed, that's right. Well, she's betrothed to this man, okay. And out of the blue, an angel comes to her and says, you're going to have a baby. Now, I know today that don't really mean too much, but I'm going back to when I was 19. I see some of you nodding. Yeah, you've been there too, haven't you? Yeah. Put it back in her society, in her culture. What would that have meant to a Jewish girl? I don't know a man. I'm not married to a man. I'm a virgin. Nevertheless, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And what is more, she's told that this is going to be the King, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior, and all these other tremendous things. If we had time, if it was a conference and we had several sessions, we could go over all this and remind ourselves of it. But you'll find it in chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. It's a tremendous catalogue, she's told. And she's a young teenage girl. She immediately rushes off a long way down to the south, because she lives in the north. She rushes off to her relation, Elizabeth, because she's been told that Elizabeth is 6 months further on with a child too, John the Baptist. And the two ladies, older and younger, meet together, and they talk and they hug each other and they speak about the mother of my Lord is come. A teenage girl, come on. And Mary then bursts out in a song. It's called the Magnificat. My soul doth magnify the Lord. I'd like to hear a few teenage girls talking like that today, wouldn't you? My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. He has remembered his covenant with Abraham. My word, I can tell you there aren't many adults, grown-up men and women, teachers of the gospel who would talk like that. I don't know if you believe in women preachers. Well, we haven't got a woman preacher today, you've got me. But actually, we have got a woman preacher here. We've got a young girl preaching to us this morning. This woman is challenging me. This young girl is talking about the covenant with Abraham, God's purpose. The baby she's having in her womb, she's got in her womb now, is the Messiah. Now, I don't know what that meant to a Jewish girl like Mary. It meant far more than I can understand. Well, the Messiah, yeah. I mean, for the Jew, this was tremendous All the prophecies of God from Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah are all fulfilled in my feeble body. And then, if you go to chapter 2, you'll find that because some Roman bigwig up in Rome there, because he wants a census or something, all these Jews, are, well, all the Roman citizens, but these Jews, this young couple, this young girl with her husband-to-be, that they've got to make a horrible trek from the north down to Bethlehem because that's where he comes from. And it's a foot's log. They didn't go down to Luton and get an aeroplane, you know, and have a day's flight. And she's heavily pregnant. And she's unmarried. Or whatever at this stage. When I was thinking about this, my mind went back 60 years ago. And I knew a believing couple, very strong believers, and they had 4 children at that stage. And she was carrying number 5. And this lady, who's now long in glory now, and her husband too, but I remember Hazel, this lady, with her later pregnancies, she was unwell after her, she gave birth for a few weeks. And so it was a trying time for them. And for various reasons, they have felt committed to give themselves to God's work. And they were absolutely not knowing where to live. They'd sold their house in Bristol, I remember, and where I knew them. And they'd moved to the north of England. And they didn't know where they were going to live. They were staying with relations. And I remember Hazel saying to me, even a cat wants to know where she's going to have her kittens. And Mary's trudging down through these sandy, rocky roads or passes. And what if I start tonight? I mean, I want you to feel this. I want you to get in her shoes. I mean, this is real. These people aren't cardboard. And they knock on the door. There's no room. You hear me, old cock? Everything's full up. There's an old shed out the back. It isn't like these nice cribs, you know, and all that sort of stuff. These nativity. That's all a lot of trash. I mean, this is an old shed. And she gives birth in that shed. And she lays her baby in a feeding trough. With cows snorting and snuffling about. It can bring tears to your eyes, man. I mean, I remember when... my wife, we had 3 children. I remember 2 of them born at home, and I remember one was born in maternity hospital in those days. Well, I don't know what happened in the maternity hospital, but I can guess. But I know what happened at home. Everything was laid out. We had everything ready, you know. And well, you know all the stuff. You've been there before. So most of you have been there before. But what must have been like for this poor girl? And then, within a few hours, these shepherds burst in. And they're talking. I mean, that's what you read it. You see, they're talking about. The angels come to us. Angels? And we've come to see him. And they go away talking about it. Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. And she pondered them. She thought about them. And if you read the Gospels, you'll see she comes into the life of Christ. At various times she breaks out again in the Gospels. You can see her coming into the Gospels. And she has these experiences with Christ. You remember that time when he's told, your mother's outside, and he said, who is my mother? He who does the will of God, and so on. Remember at the wedding of Cana, she says, whatever he says to you, do it. You know, she breaks into his life. Well, she breaks into the Gospel story, the Gospel account. She's there at the cross, isn't she? Remember with John, Jesus says, there's your mother, there's your son, look after her for me. When you get through Luke 2, when I come again, when I get to Luke 2, when I get to it, she runs into Simeon. Now mine eyes have seen the redemption, the Israel deliverer. She takes him to the temple and does the sacrifices according to the law. She's playing a very important part, and I think we can say about it all, this young girl is looking upon these things and she's treasuring them up in her heart, and she's remembering them, thinking about them. She puts them in her mind, but it's more than her mind, it's in her heart. I tried to think about how I could illustrate this to you. I haven't got it now, but because I've given these things away to my children since my wife died. But I remember, it must be 60, how many years ago now, I bought my wife a locket. I don't suppose it was worth much, I don't know, but I think it was silver, but anyway, it was a locket, and a silver locket. And she put two photographs in it. One was of me, and one was of her. And she would, from time to time, wear this locket. When our son was still a baby, as children are, they're very curious, aren't they? And he was teething. And children are so quick, aren't they? Before she could stop him, he grabbed this locket and he put it in his mouth and he bitten it. That locket still has his teeth mark in it. I suppose it's worth pence. It might even have two photographs in it. My daughter's got it now. It won't be worth anything to anybody, will it? Except to one person. Well, it might be worth to two or three more, but it's certainly worth something to me. Just because it has those associations, you see. I see you nodding, some of you, because you've got them too, haven't you? In The Mayor of Crasterbridge by Thomas Hardy, Susan Henchard, who's a poor little thing, she dies. And the village, the Casterbridge people are chatting and they say, they'll open all her cupboards now and they'll be looking at all her little secret things. And that's what happens, my friend, the moment you die. All those things that are treasured to you that nobody else sees or knows or values, suddenly they'll all be out on the table. And for most people, they won't mean anything. But they were treasures to you. Some of you got a lock of hair, haven't you, somewhere? Some of you got a little ribbon or something. I don't know what it is. I had a little Bible that my wife carried at her wedding. Our wedding. You've got these little treasures, haven't you? Mary treasured these things, you see. What did she treasure? All was centered on Christ. If you read this passage carefully, again, for yourself, you will see it. The shepherds spoke about Christ. The angels spoke about Christ. They all speak about Christ. Christ is the sum and substance of it here. He is the very center of it. And Mary is treasuring it all up in her heart. This is going to be a very short discourse. But actually, it might be the longest discourse you've ever heard in this sense. If Mary's words could get into our hearts and we begin to treasure Jesus the way she thought about him, the way she memorized him, if we memorized him and we pondered him and we saw the wonder of him and the value of him, that sermon might last for the rest of our lives and it might last for eternity. Charles Wesley wrote a hymn. When shall I find my willing heart all taken up with thee? He's speaking about Christ. I'll say it again. When shall I find my willing or longing heart all taken up with thee? I thirst, I faint, I die to prove the greatness of redeeming love. You even know it, don't you? The love of Christ to me, or to me, for me. I want to know it, he said. You see, Mary thought about these things in her mind. And that's a great thing. She put her mind to work. Oh, sorry. I'll pick it up. Come on. Right. She put her mind to work. But it tells me in my Bible, she pondered them in her heart. And one of the greatest dangers is that we keep the truth floating in our minds. It just becomes a mental thing. It is, for me, one of my biggest temptations and difficulties. I love the arguments of the gospel. I love Paul's arguments. I love his theology. It's fascinating. I can be thrilled with it just as an argument. But it mustn't just stay as a thrilling argument. Mary is not concerned so much just in all the theory of it. She feels it. Well, I know she is a mother, but she feels it. Can you see it? And I think the Spirit has recorded this for me to feel it. Perhaps some of you, perhaps in certain circles, in strict Baptist circles where I've moved, they would know this hymn very well. It's a hymn by Joseph Hart. True religion's more than notion. Something must be known and felt. We want a felt Christ. That's what the old saints used to talk about. Mary felt these things. She treasured them. I'm going to read a hymn to you now. It's a man who wrote this. Lived locally. I wonder if you can guess the name of this hymn writer. No, it's not John Bunyan. No. If gazing strangers want to know what makes me sing of Jesus so, I love his name, 'tis very dear, and would his loveliness declare. His eyes are full of melting love, more soft and sparkling than the dove, and sweet instruction he conveys to warm my heart and guide my ways. No sinful taint his bosom knows, but with amazing kindness glows. He wrought a righteousness divine and gives me faith to call it mine. Now here's the punchline for me. There's four more lines to come, and it's the last two lines which are the punchline. His mercies like himself endure, and like his love are ever sure. Now here's the real puncher. And when your eye his worth can view, and when your eye his worth can view, your heart will love and trust him too. When you can only see the glory that there is in the Lord Jesus, you won't be able to help yourself. You will love him and you will trust him. That was written by a man called John Berridge, who was director at Everton. We could deal with a few Church of England rectors like that today, couldn't we? What am I saying to you, my friend? I've come here this morning with a very short discourse. I just wanted to say this. Oh, that our hearts could be taken up with Christ. I believe Mary's was. I believe Mary's was. Here's another hymn. I won't read all of it, but just read this one. If I chose this hymn in a certain chapel, there'd be a man there and he would say to me afterwards, that was my hymn. And I'll tell you why he would say it. I think he's too old now, but for years he was the village engraver. And so he would engrave their cups and medals and shields, you see. And there's a hymn by Samuel Stennett. Jesus, engrave it on my heart, that thou the one thing needful art. I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. And it goes on like that. Of course, it's a sweet truth and easy to sing, isn't it? But I wish it were true, that I could never be parted from Jesus, that I love him so much. You have to indulge me. Here's a hymn I'm going to have sung at my funeral, okay? A hymn by William Gadsby. Immortal honors, rest on Jesus' head, my God, my portion, and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction, and despair. He is my refuge in each deep distress. The Lord my strength and righteousness, glorious righteousness. Through floods and flames he leads me safely on, and daily makes his sovereign goodness known. My every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. In him there dwells a treasure all divine, and matchless grace has made that treasure mine. Now here's the great verse for me. Oh, that my soul could love him, could love and praise him more. His beauty's trace, his majesty adore. Live near his heart, upon his bosom lean. Obey his voice, and all his will esteem. Lord, it is my chief complaint that my love is weak and faint. Oh, for grace to love thee more. I don't know if you believe in women preachers, but you've had one this morning. She's spoken to me, and she told me, David, don't just let it stay in the head. Don't let it just waft about in the air. Christ is so precious. If only your heart knew how precious it was, he was, you would love him with an, as like he's loved you with an everlasting love, he will, you would love him back in return. My friends, if I have failed in the times I've come here in my preaching to convey to you the something of the glory and the wonder and the rapture there is in Christ, then forgive me. But my friend, if you have been called to Christ, you have been called toward him, and you have not wanted him, then you might blame me, but my friend, look in the mirror. What are you doing? Here is the greatest treasure that the world will ever know, and here it is on offer to us all. Mary saw in that baby, she saw the hope of the world. And she could never, never forget him. She was more than a mother to him. For as she said, my soul has rejoiced in God my Saviour. And Elizabeth, her cousin or relation, said, why has the mother of my Lord come to me? They knew that that baby, although Mary was the mother, the truth is that the baby was the Lord. And her heart was full of Christ. My heart, says Wesley, is full of Christ and longs the glorious matter to declare. I appeal to you, my friend, I appeal to myself. Think upon Christ, treasure him, love him, trust him, rely upon him. There is none to be compared to him. We had a text on our wall, like you got one there. We had a text on our wall when we were married. And it said, what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? And underneath it was, he is altogether, altogether lovely. But I'll tell you what most people say of him. There is no beauty in him that we should desire him. All ye that pass by, to Jesus draw nigh. To you is it nothing that Jesus should die? And the answer is yes, it is nothing. I'm recording this. Where is it going to end up? I'll tell you, my friend, wherever it ends up, I want to say to that man, that woman, that young person, Christ is all. Outside of Christ, Islam, Buddhism, anywhere else, nothing. Jesus only. And if you don't see the preciousness of Jesus, if I have failed, forgive me. But if you can't see him, if you won't see him, if there's no beauty in him that you want him, the buck stops with you, my friend. Mary pondered. She thought. She treasured. She talked it over. The word has got a Greek in it together with. She chewed it over in her mind. Oh, my friend, don't let the birds of the air rob you of this thought today. Christ is all. Unto you who believe, he is precious. Do you believe, my friend? Is he precious to you? Oh, that he could be more precious. That's what Mary would say to us this morning. And may God bless us by his Spirit that we can say, yes, Jesus, by God's grace, is precious to me. Oh, that he could be more precious. Oh, that I knew him more. And one day, brother and sister, we shall see him and we shall be like him. And we shall know how precious he is then, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.